The Huntsville Symphony Orchestra begins its 60th season with the first classical concert of the series, Berlioz and the Ladies. Music director and conductor Gregory Voita talked with me about the concert, which features compositions by two female composers and is dedicated to the ladies of the Huntsville Symphony Orchestra Guild.
Without the guild, we couldn't do what we're doing now. Mm-hmm. Every season, if you remember that, I'm doing a concert where we are not having any guest soloists. We're only having the orchestra on stage. And I usually pick a piece like Symphony Fantastique where the orchestra can really show off and our players and principal players can, you know, show what they can do with their instruments. So this is that concert of the season. And we link this with the celebration of the guild. And I think it's only appropriate to open the 60th season of the symphony with a concert like this. Now, the other ladies, on the other hand, are the lady composers on the program, Gabriela Lena Frank. And there's another connection because the Guild commissioned this piece in 2010 that we're performing again as Scaramouza, and then Lily Boulanger's short and sweet symphonic composition. And then, of course, Berlioz and the Ladies is the story behind Symphony Fantastique, but
yes,
we might talk about that a little more later.
Fantastic backstory with the Symphony Fantastique. I had the great pleasure of meeting Gabriela Lena Frank when she was here with Carlos Miguel Prieto when the piece was first commissioned. And if you put in the word Escaramuza into Google, I got really excited because they showed horses. And I said, oh boy, I finally get to talk about horses. But she told me, no, it has nothing to do with this equestrian event. It's a Peruvian dance and the snapping of the ropes. And it sort of reminds me a little bit of Ginastera.
Yes, I mean, Lena Frank is from a Peruvian background, and her music is famous from using those elements. And she said that she's practically constantly searching her own, you know, roots and trying to find that in her music. It's a very energetic piece. It starts and ends with the bass drum solo and changing rhythms. I told my musicians that after the first two rehearsals, now they're honorary Eastern Europeans or Peruvians because there are so many changing meters in the piece that you have to catch up with. That it is not an easy piece to perform. It has a lot of energy, and I think it's just a great, delightful piece of music.
Yeah, Carlos told me afterwards that he enjoyed conducting it, and some of the musicians have actually played it before, and he goes, I'll program it again, but as far as I know, he hadn't gotten around to it. And that happens a lot. A piece will be commissioned, and there's a big hoop-de-doo, and it makes its debut, and then nobody ever hears from it again.
And as a composer myself, I want to champion, you know, playing compositions for the second time, for the third time, for the fourth time. You know, putting it on the program again hopefully helps making this piece part of the repertoire of other orchestras. I mean, that would be the sole purpose of commissioning and playing pieces, especially if the pieces are good, like this is a good piece. I think other orchestras should discover it for themselves.
And I wish I could play the recording, but the only recording that exists is with the Huntsville Symphony Orchestra from 2010, and I don't have it. But I was able to find this other piece, this Lily Boulanger. It is just delightful. Let's listen to a little.
Thank you.
This is a delightful piece, De Matin, De Printemps, Morning in Spring. I wasn't familiar with it, but I think it makes sense in the context of this particular context.
Well, I do think it makes sense for two reasons, because we're talking about a woman composer and we're talking about a French composer.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Berlioz himself was French, and I think there is a strong connection. You heard a little bit of Debussy in there, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You hear that type of sound. And when we say the name Boulanger...
First,
I think of boulangerie, so I think
that's
of
right,
croissant
of course,
fun breakfast in Paris. That's my first thought. But the second thought is, of course, Nadia Boulanger, who was a famous composer and teacher, teacher of Copland and Bernstein, among others. We are talking about her younger sister here.
What a tragically short life.
Tragically short life and a great talent. I mean, winning the Prix de Rome, which was the major award for composers back in the times, is a huge deal. She doesn't have too many compositions out there.
Well, she was 24 when she died.
Exactly. So. This piece was originally written for violin and piano, and she orchestrated it herself. Spring Morning is the title, and it exactly sounds like what it sounds like. It's a spring morning, a lot of energy and just flowers blossoming and birds chirping and
very happy and fun and fanciful. But I think it's like a good, maybe a palate cleanser, maybe like a sorbet before the Symphony Fantastique starts.
Yeah, I like that. Wow. You're using culinary words. I like to do that because I like two things, eat. Food and music, and I think they're actually closely connected.
And I think it's easy to talk about music in terms of food. It's like putting together a program, it is almost like a meal. You have your appetizer, your overture, and then some, maybe a salad and your sorbet, and then the main course.
And we are so clever that we're already talking about our casual classics one this season, which is called Dinner Divertimento, and this is exactly what I cooked up for you. That is three courses, an appetizer, a main course, and a dessert. Mostly wind music. This is going to happen in November, Sunday evening, as usual. There is an early Richard Strauss piece on the program, Serenade, a very short one for the appetizers. Then there is Dvorak Serenade for Winds.
That's a fun piece.
That is a fun piece. There is also a cello and the bass in it. And there is a piece at the end for the dessert called 10 Character Pieces by French composer Jean Francais, who was a 20th century composer but pretty much wrote music of the 19th century. Just delightful. No clouds, no cloudy thoughts in the entire piece. It really goes with some nice, I don't know, French chocolate dessert or whatever we're going to eat.
That's coming up next month. But tonight, I know you're extremely busy. You've got rehearsals for this first concert, and it's Symphony Week, too. What's been going on with Symphony Week?
Since this is the 60th season of the Huntsville Symphony, the longest continuously operating symphony orchestra in the state of Alabama.
And we're still here, unlike my friends in Atlanta who can't go to the symphony.
Exactly, and there are many other symphonies, probably older than us, but they went belly up once or twice. So this is a tough business, and I'm proud to be the music director of an orchestra that is continuously operating for 60 years, because what that tells me and what that should tell to everybody is that this is a community that cares about its orchestra and cares about music and supports it. So that, I think it is crucial and it is very important. And of course, it's important to us. So it is always time to celebrate, but definitely the 60th season is something to look forward to.
And again, a lot of that is due to the fundraising efforts of the Guild. They're one of the more successful fundraising branches of any symphony in the country. They are top
and
notch.
And that is exactly why we're honoring them for the first concert.
Then the concert ends with one of my favorite pieces, which is perfect for Halloween, the Symphonie Fantastique. It is. I think the scariest thing about the Symphonie Fantastique is the backstory. That Berlioz wrote this piece, he saw this Irish actress, Harriet Smithson, in a performance of Hamlet. She was playing Ophelia, and he was just smitten with her and tried to impress her by you know, made this composition, and it worked. She was impressed. Who would not be impressed? But the really scary thing is they got married, and it didn't work out.
Well, that does happen sometimes, right? Especially with you know, pop musicians and rock musicians like Berlioz. I mean, he was a rock star back in the days. You know, this is one of the two, you know, not politically correct compositions that are being played really, really often and they're favorite of the audiences. The other one is Orf Carmina Burana, of course, yes. Which is all about college life and drinking. Mm-hmm. Well, this is about everything that you don't want your, everything R-rated. You don't want your kids to know the story if they come to the concert.
But
they
it's
would
all
enjoy
a dream.
The music.
It's all a dream.
And it ended up with the marriage with the actress there,
yes.
For Berlioz. But it is, this is one of the compositions in the classical music where you know every movement of the piece.
Uh-huh.
Like at least 1 or 2 minutes you recognize great melodies, great energy, and it is a long piece. It's about 45-50 minutes, but it doesn't feel like it because time flies when you're listening to Symphonie Fantastique.
And it's in five movements, which was kind of a different thing. Most composers weren't doing five movements. It's not really your typical symphony. He described it more as a symphonic poem. So, but there's a lot going on. You can read the backstory. I imagine it's going to be in the program notes, but you can read it. But I'm wondering, for you as a composer, what makes it so fantastical as a composer and conductor?
What makes it so fantastic is the fact that he manages to write a piece so long, tell a story with it, yet keep it one unit. I mean, he's using these melodies that connect every movement. It's Harriet's theme is appearing in every movement in very different characters. And it's very visual, really, I think that if there was films and movies back in the times, he would have written soundtracks.
I was watching The Corpse Bride last night, a Tim Burton film, and I'm thinking, why hasn't Tim Burton animated Symphonie Fantastique? Why hasn't this happened yet?
It's very visual, and it's very, I mean, you can just see things happening, and the timing is great. It's just perfect for a movie.
This is the final movement, the Witch's Sabbath, which some critics at the time thought really was unnecessary. They didn't think it needed to be there, but I think it does. It's the best part.
It is, and it's a lot of fun music to play, actually. This, some pieces that are great to listen to are not so much fun to play, but this is a lot of fun to play, a lot of fun to conduct, and a lot of fun to listen to.
I'm curious about, there's a special effect sound with the strings. It's like this screechy, screechy. What are they doing? How do they make that sound?
It's like Psycho, right?
It's
similar to that effect.
How do they do that?
It's practically just muted violins and they're bouncing the bow. And then at one point they're playing with the wood. So halfway between the hair and the wood of the bow, so that makes this. It's the rattling of the bones.
It's perfect.
Yes.
Play the whole thing, but you have to hit the road. I know you've got rehearsal coming up at 11 o'clock, and also another reason why people also want to hear the last recording of the last concert, the Beethoven.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
I've got that queued up. But so what's next? We've got Symphony Fantastique this evening. The concert begins at 7:30. More information at 256-539-4818 or hso.org. They can learn about the next concert, which is?
The next concert, which is a very special concert. I think every concert is special that we do this season, or every concert of every season. But a very famous percussion group is coming to visit us, Amadinda. They're going to Cincinnati after this to play for the World Meeting of Percussionists. There is such a thing. Uh-huh. It's not only Witch's Sabbath, but yeah. It's also percussionist meeting up. Uh-huh. I don't know what's happening there, but the bottom line is they're coming and playing an interesting arrangement of a Bach concerto for two keyboards originally and orchestra. They're playing it with two marimbas and two vibraphones, and then we're performing a composition that was written for them, a sinfonia concertante for four percussion players and orchestra by a young Hungarian composer. I wanted to introduce this piece here because I think it can be picked up just like Delaina Frank. You know, it needs to be discovered. It's a piece that would go really well with American orchestras and American programming here in this country. And in the first half, they're playing all kinds of fun percussion things, very, very diverse repertoire, from classical arrangements to folk music, just using a piece of wood and mm-hmm. and very fancy percussion instruments as well.
That's coming up next. Tonight, Symphonie Fantastique, music of Lili Boulanger, Gabrielle Elena Frank, and Hector Berlioz. Gregory Voida, always a pleasure, and you can do a little bit of work for me. I was just saying I talked nonstop all last week during our fundraiser. I'm going to let you introduce this next piece. I think you know a little bit about it.
Yes. What are we playing? Because I know what we had.
It's the recording. It's the Beethoven.
Oh, it's the Beethoven 5. Yeah, yeah. We had the 2/5 and the 5th. That was our last concert of last season. Let me introduce to you the famous piece by Ludwig van Beethoven called Symphony No. 5.
This is the Huntsville Symphony Orchestra, conducted by
Gregory Voida.